I'm excited to preach the gospel of grace tonight. Do you think we can close that door? The generator is louder than me. Yeah, just close the door. Yeah, that's better. Much better. So I'm excited to preach the message of grace tonight. And what I'm going to share with you tonight has really changed my life. It made me a new man. It's like Paul said, the life I now live is not I who live, but Christ that lives in me. You know, for a long time in my life, it was me living Christianity. But as I got the revelation of what I'm about to share with you tonight, I found that God started to live in me. And that is the purpose of the gospel. The purpose of the gospel was that God could start to live in man. Now tonight we're going to go longer than 30 minutes. We are going to go until I'm empty. Amen. Are you ready? Okay, let's pray together. Father, I want to thank you that I can preach your gospel. Lord, what an honor to stand here in Zimbabwe and preach your gospel. Thank you that I can be here with my friend Steve and just the life that we've had together as friends. It's awesome, my God, to be together and preach your word. Thank you that I could be invited and you provided the way for me to be here. Father, I thank you that your Holy Spirit can speak through me tonight in such a way that the Spirit of Jesus, the attitude and the presence of innocence can be flooded into the hearts and belief systems of people tonight. Thank you that you use me, my God. In Jesus' name, amen. Right. The Bible says that God is a just God. He's a righteous God. He will not let any sin go unpunished. He will not let sin get past him. And there are many things about the righteousness of God that has brought great fear to our hearts. But I want to talk about the righteousness of God. His judgment is righteous. So what the right you have, he will see that that right will happen to you. Now I want to ask you this question. How many people had to sin for you to become a sinner?
One.
Okay. The name of that person was Adam. So it was not your sin. I want you to understand this. It is not your sin that makes you a sinner. It was the sin of another man that made all of us sinners. It is a common knowledge to everybody. Nobody disagrees. We all believe it. We all people believe that they were born into sin. All people believe that you don't have to teach your child how to sin. He will sin by himself. Amen. And that was all because of the sin of one man. What I'm about to share with you is the foundation of the gospel of Jesus Christ. I have preached in many leaders' conferences, and I have found that only a very few leaders know what I'm about to share. When you understand what I'm about to share, you'll find that the Bible will start to make sense to you. So when God made a man, He made Adam, He made him perfect, and He made him as the representative of everybody that will still be born. He was a representative of mankind. When he sinned, you became a sinner. Without even sinning, you were made a sinner. The Bible states that the people that did not even sin in the same sin of Adam was sinners because of Adam. Now that sounds very unfair. I mean, I didn't even have a fair chance. Another man's sin made me a sinner. And now I am struggling with sin because of another man's disobedience. It was not my fault. It was his fault. Now his sin is imputed to me. His disobedience brought forth death, and now we are dying. His sin brought forth sickness, now we are sick. Now that sounds unfair. You know, I've always preached it this way. If you try and look for Adam in heaven, you'll find he lives separate from the other people. And there at his house, you find many angels, bodyguards. With big fence. Because if the people in heaven, the church, can get a hold of Adam, they're going to kill him a second time. Because he was the source of all this problem. So, for Adam to be the representative of the whole world, he had to be a human being. So he was a human being, and he represented all the humans. You know, if you live in South Africa, and you want to represent the Zulu, you cannot be a Khoza. Even if you love the Zulu with all your heart, if you are a Khoza and you say, "I decide for all the Zulus," you are just wasting your time. You cannot decide for them. You are not a Zulu, and you are not the chief of all the Zulus, so you cannot decide for them. In the very same way, when God made Adam, Adam was God in human flesh. He had the Holy Spirit inside him. He was the God kind. but in human flesh. And because he was the first human being, he decided for all the human race. So if he makes a good decision, everybody can have life. If he makes a bad decision, everybody can suffer. Amen. Now, when Adam made a bad decision, the decision that he made was that mankind will live by willpower. He said, from now on forward, man will eat of the tree of knowing what is right and knowing what is wrong, and out of that he will find his life. After Adam made that decision, God could not change it. Because God could not represent the human being, because God is a spirit. God was Zulu, Adam was Xhosa. You understand? Okay, I want to make it very simple. So the only way for this whole thing to change was that righteousness had to happen towards the human race. So if one man could bring you into darkness, it would only be fair if one man can bring you into light. So God knew that he could not decide for man. The only way for God to change this whole thing was if God could come into a human being. Are you hearing what I'm saying?
Yes.
So, here was Adam. He made the wrong decision. It brought forth death. It brought forth the law. It brought forth judgment and condemnation. The only way this thing can change is if a man which is under the law, which is under this system, can change it back to the way it was before. So then God said, let me incarnate a human being. And when Jesus was born, he was born a man under the law. Okay. So here was Adam. When he sinned, he came under the ministry of death, which was works righteousness. The only way for man to live again would be if a man can come and qualify according to the standard that Adam decided before. So there was a law over all of man. That law said, you need to be sinless in your human body to be righteous before God. So then God said, let me incarnate myself into sinful flesh, into the body of a human being. Then I will represent the whole human race. The book of Hebrews says that Jesus was called the last Adam. The first Adam was the one that decided for us all, And the last Adam is the one that decides for us all. If the first Adam is disobedient, we will die. If the last Adam is obedient, life will be given to us. Now I want you to open your Bibles in Romans chapter 5. Are you learning something? Hallelujah. It would be unfair if one man can make you a sinner and you don't receive the opportunity for one man to make you holy. Romans 5:19. Please read with me there. I want you to see it in your Bible for yourself. It says, "For as by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous." Okay. So whose obedience makes us righteous? The obedience of Jesus. You know, when Adam sinned, I don't have a chalk here, but say yes, Adam, when he sinned, all the sins of Adam was written behind your name. And you qualified for eternal hell. But then God came and he became a man. And when he became a man, he was sinless. John the Baptist said, "Behold the Lamb of God, the sinless Lamb of God, who takes away the sin of the world." So he obeyed the whole law. He was righteous. And then he took the sin, the punishment of the law, also on him. And then he died. He was raised again in newness of life. But when he was obedient before God, he was obedient on your behalf. He was obedient on behalf of the human race. Amen. So that we can preach today the obedience of Jesus as your righteousness. If you can believe this, it will save you from your condemnation. Amen. I want to explain it this way. You know, say I have a small dogs at home. Little puppies. And then one of the puppies get lost. 1 year later, I see that dog at somebody's house. The dog left me out of his free will. That dog at the other owner's house, I see that owner beats the dog. He takes a very short chain like this, he ties him to the tree. The dog is sick. The dog is suffering. He doesn't give good food to the dog. The dog is very skinny, almost dying. He's got worms in his stomach. He's very sick. Now I come, I see the dog. I say, "Ah, but that was the puppy that left my house. But now that puppy is belonging to somebody else." Now I think, oh, my dog is going to die. I love that dog. So what shall I do? I phone the owner. I tell him, listen, that dog, can I not buy that dog from you? Why do I want to buy the dog? To save the dog. Because the dog is going to die. So now I phone him. I said to him, yes. He says, yes, you can buy the dog. I said, how much? He says, no, 200 rands. I say, okay. I want to give you the money. Where will I find you? He says, no, get me at Nando's. I go to Nando's. There the man is. I give him the 200 rand. Now, who's the owner of the dog now? I'm the owner. I have redeemed the dog. The word redeem means to buy it back. So the dog is redeemed. Now I go to the house. I'm going to save my dog from his death now. Hey, now my dog wants to bite me. The dog is already redeemed. But the dog does not believe he has been redeemed. He does not believe that I am the new owner. Now he wants to bite me. Defending someone that he does not even belong to. As I sit there with a dog, I talk to the dog, I buy it food, I'm good to the dog. Now this goodness that I'm giving the dog, it is leading the dog to repentance. I tell the dog, dog, I'm your owner, man. I said, dog, I love you. Fighting to die. But as I am good to the dog, when the dog believes I am the owner, then I can take the chain and save him from the tree and save him from his sickness and save him from his hunger, because he believes that I have already redeemed him. In the same way, Jesus has redeemed all of mankind. And he has restored mankind unto himself. Amen. But when we can believe it, we can be saved from the condemnation and the slave master of the law. Amen. Are you hearing the gospel?
Amen.
This is the good news. When I preach at a crusade, I tell the sinners that God does not impute their trespasses against them. I tell the sinners that they have been redeemed by the blood of Jesus. I tell the sinner that they've got a new man who is now lording over them. When they accept the lordship of righteousness as a free gift, they are saved from the power of sin in their life. Amen. So Jesus Christ came and He obeyed on behalf of all of man to give the righteousness of God as a free gift to the sinner. Amen. So what are we preaching to sinners? We preach to them the salvation message of how God redeemed people. I found many people can believe that Adam made them a sinner, but they cannot believe that Jesus redeemed them. I mean, how difficult was it to become a sinner? Very easy. Another man disobeyed, you got it for free.
Come on.
Come on. How easy is it to become righteous before God? Another man obeys on your behalf, you get it for free. And God made sure that that man would not fail, therefore He incarnated Himself into human flesh. Hallelujah. Amen. Now, I want to explain to you the death of Christ. What death did He die? In the book of Romans chapter 7, it talks about marriage. I want to ask you people, if you are a married man, can you go and marry another woman? No, it's adultery. Everybody knows it. Okay, let me change it. If you are a married lady, can you go and marry another man? Huh? No. Okay. When can a lady that is married go and marry another man? When the husband dies. Okay. Now, I'm glad you are so clever. Only when the husband is dead. Now say I have got a very beautiful wife. And my wife is very beautiful at home, I tell you. She's very beautiful. When every time I see her, my heart jumps. I remember the first time I saw her. I was 20 years of age. Very holy. Always praying. When I saw her, I said, "Oh God, help me. God, help me." Hallelujah. Amen. I said, "Oh God, help me. I've got trouble here. This woman is too beautiful for me." Huh? And even until today, you know, I've got a picture on my cell phone. It's the homepage picture. the front page. When I open it, I see her. And every time my heart says, now imagine my beautiful wife gets deceived by another man. Now she says, Bertie, I know you're a preacher. I know you're a good man. But this other man, he made me very big promises. I'm going to leave you. Before she does that, I warn her. I said, that other man will only bring death to you. There's no one that can love you the way I love you. She does not listen. And she marries the neighbor. You know, the neighbor, that's bad news. In the beginning, she's very happy. But after 1 week, the new husband comes to her. Said, my lovely wife, I just want to show you how it works around the house here. You know, the other house, you could just do whatever you want. Your husband just brings you gifts every day. I also want to give you gifts. But I've got 10 rules for you. I'll put it on the fridge. So every day, it's very easy, just 10. Do the 10 and you'll see how good a husband I am. Now I'm at night there in my house. I hear how that other man is beating my wife. Because she does not cook right. She does not clean the house right. And even if she does 9 of the 10, then that husband only looks at the 1. And then he says, if you break 1, you've broken them all. Bad husband. And I hear how she's crying there. She's crying. She's being beaten. I see she's becoming very skinny. Huh? She's not eating good. She cannot have children. She's being a slave of that man. Now what can I do? Nothing. If I go and take her back, then I will be just like this other man. Because she's still married to him. Legal marriage. I cannot go and also be an adulterer. If I want to marry her, the husband must first die. Isn't it? So now I see this husband doesn't want to die. So I need to make a plan. Now I cannot go and murder the husband. That is also a sin. So what can I do? Now you know what God did? He said, I will take my spirit and I will put it inside that man. And then I will die. Are you hearing me? I'll put my spirit in that Lord man. And then I will die. So that she can be free. Then I will be raised again. But not as a law man, but as a grace man. Then I will go to the woman again and say, please marry me. Amen. Romans chapter 7 says that through the body of Jesus, the man of the law has died, so that we can be married to somebody else. Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. When Jesus died, your relationship with the law man has died. Many of us, we are still cleaning the house, thinking he's only on vacation. He's not on vacation, he is dead. Amen. You are under the law, thinking of grace. And in your heart you feel, oh, I wish I can have this grace relationship like I see Pastor Steve and Bertie and some of the other people have. But you feel in your heart, if I go to grace, I will be fornicating against my husband of law. You don't have a husband of law. It's a lie. He's dead. He's already died 2,000 years ago. It would not be fornication to come and accept grace today. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Jesus Christ came, born as a man under the law. Then he died. The man under the law died. He was not raised by the law of Moses, but by the Spirit of God. So the relationship Jesus has with the Father is by the Holy Spirit, not by works righteousness. And Jesus, when he was raised in a human body that can never die. What does that mean? When you accept him as your savior, you are accepting him as your representative. Amen. You are saying, he is my representative. Amen. When he stands before God, it's as good as what I am standing before God. When he is seen as wonderful before God, he represents me. The Bible says in Colossians 3 that the life of Jesus is your life. If I want to know how successful I am, I don't look at my bank balance. I don't look as if my children are obedient to me or not. I don't look at how many people love my ministry. I look at how successful Jesus is. For his life is my life. The success of Christ is my success. The righteousness of Jesus is my righteousness. I don't have another life. You know, we are thinking that we have our life, and then there's the life of Jesus, and now we must try and live this life of Jesus. No. When you accept Jesus as your Lord, you are accepting that his life is your life. Fornication in the New Testament is to try and go and sleep with the corpse Moses.
his voice.
Are you hearing me? You are married to Jesus. Let's not fornicate with Moses. Bearing the children of Moses. That is Romans 7. He says that Jesus died the law man so that we can now bear the fruit of God. Because people were bearing the fruit of Moses. Let me explain this in ministry. You know, God made a promise to Abraham. He says, I will give you a son. Then Abraham could not believe that God would give him a son. He went and made his own son. Called Ishmael. But God, afterwards when Isaac was born, then God said to Abraham, take Isaac, your son, your only son. Now how many sons did Abraham have? Two. But how many sons did God see Abraham had? One. Only what is born of the promise which is for free is counted before God. The rest does not count. Maybe Ishmael was more beautiful than Isaac. Maybe Ishmael was more clever than Isaac. It doesn't matter. The one is of God and the other one is not. You know, my wife and I, there was a time when we decided we want children. We said we want children. Now, say I go on a crusade like this, and I come home after 2 months. My wife says, I've got good news. I'm 3 weeks pregnant. I said, but what are you doing? She said, but the vision is that we will have children. What's the problem? You see, the vision is not that we will have children. The vision is that she will have my children. You know, the problem in the church is the vision is that people will bear fruit. Sleep with. If it's Moses, doesn't matter, as long as what the fruit is good. God's vision is not that you will just bear fruit. God's vision is that He can bear His fruit in you. And Romans chapter 7 says the only way for God to bear His fruit in you is by you renouncing the old law man and marrying Jesus as the man of grace which will bear His fruit in you. There is no other way. I want to end off with this. The Bible says in Corinthians that in the last days every man's work will be tested by fire. What is the fire of God? The fire is the light of God. Now there's a scripture, tomorrow I'll talk about it, in Isaiah, that says that the light of God is the rest of God. Okay? So every man's work will be tested by God. As if it came forth from the platform of resting in Jesus or by works righteousness. What it means is, even if your church has got 1,000 members, but it's born from guilt and condemnation and hard work, it means nothing to God. Because it was born out of your own willpower. It was born out of your charisma. It was born because you know how to just walk right with a microphone. You just know how to sweat right. You know how to wipe the sweat in a good way that the people like it. You know how to make good jokes. You know how to get the people excited. And now the people are just coming more and more and more. My friend, I want to introduce you to your husband, Jesus. The Bible says your maker is your husband. Let him bear his fruit in you. If you can just believe in what he's done for you. He obeyed for you. If your file is drawn in heaven, the good things of Jesus is written behind your name. If you believe this, you'll see the Holy Spirit come into you and change your life. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I want us all to close our eyes. Amen. You're going to play something for us just softly there? Yeah. Okay. So, yes. You know, you've been coming into this place. I wanted to close your eyes. And you are hearing the love of God. Amen. You can interpret for me. And you know that you need to receive and say yes to your new husband. You need to say, I am renouncing this old law. I am accepting Jesus now as my new husband. Hallelujah. If you want to receive Jesus as your new husband, and you want to be saved from condemnation, and you want to see his fruit coming in your life effortlessly, please just raise your hand where you are, for I want to pray with you. Just raise it high. Everybody that wants it, just raise it high. I want all those people that's raised their hands, please just come to the front here. I want to pray for you. I don't care if you're even a pastor. It doesn't matter. If you raised your hand, come. I was a pastor, and then I accepted Jesus as my husband. I was always having the fruit of the law. Don't let the opportunity go past. Come, please. In the back over there, if you want to come, God's speaking to your heart, just come. Over here, everybody that raised his hand, please come right now. If you feel you want to come, come right now. It is time to receive Jesus as your husband. God is standing before every man here today. on a bended knee like this. And he's holding a ring to you. He says, will you marry me? He says, you qualify already. I've already removed your sins. You are good enough for me. Marry me that you can bear fruit that looks like me. Is there anybody else? Is there anybody else? Hallelujah.
Jesus.
Amen. I want the people here in front just to pray with me, please.
Just
close your eyes. I want you to pray this prayer with me. Say,
Lord Jesus,
I come to you tonight.
I renounce Moses.
I accept Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus,
that you deliver me from all condemnation.
That you deliver me
from all condemnation.
I receive you, Jesus.
You are my Lord.
I'm not my own Lord.
Thank you, Jesus,
that you set me free
from works righteousness.
I receive Jesus
as my Lord.
The life of Jesus
is my life.
The holiness of Jesus
is my holiness.
The peace of Jesus
is my peace.
I am righteous.
I am holy.
And I'm blessed.
I am under the kingdom of peace.
I'm under the kingdom of no condemnation.
I'm married to Jesus today.
And the fruit of His peace
will manifest in my life
as from now,
in the mighty name of Jesus.
Hallelujah.
I want you to see the love of Jesus in His eyes.
Just close your eyes.
Just see Jesus in front of you. The Holy Spirit will give you a picture.
See Jesus in front of you.
See how He takes your hand.
How God stands there with you.
And how He puts the ring on your finger.
And you are married with Him forevermore.
See the life of Jesus.
The light of Jesus
entering your body.
Entering your mind.
See how you are unified with God.
How the life of God starts to flow in your veins.
And how you are one with Him.
How you become one with Jesus that you cannot see any difference anymore.
You are one with Him.
And I can declare over you today
that the life that comes forth in you from this revelation is born of God.
And from today, you can say, I am not born of Moses.
I'm not born of willpower.
But I am born again of God.
In Jesus' mighty name.
Amen and amen.
Hallelujah, hallelujah.
Let us all clap our hands for what Jesus Christ has done.
Amen, amen.
Hallelujah.
I want to just say this to you. You guys are special to God.
You know?
Many of you are preaching the gospel and you are saying, Lord, today I'm being married
to the gospel of grace.
And I'm set free from the gospel of condemnation.
It was a brave thing to come here in front of everybody.
But it's wonderful to see what God does in your life.
I declare you as innocent,
unified with God.
I declare you as righteous before Him and blessed forevermore.
Amen, amen. You can be seated.
Hallelujah, hallelujah.
Thank you.